Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County. This is episode 29, Taxation Trifecta, Part 2.
Welcome back to Color Country Politics. We are so excited to have you back again. I'm Jenny Hendricks.
I'm Jesse Harris.
And we are back with the trifecta. You guys, I'm in nerd heaven. I am so geeking out right now. I can't even tell you. We are here with Dan Jessen, who is the county auditor, and Cindy Bullock, Hello. Who is the county assessor, and Nicole Rosenberg, who is the county treasurer. And everybody should have received your notice. It's not a bill. It's a notice of property valuation and tax changes. And so we're trying to get you the information of how to interpret that, what goes into this. I mean, this document is just packed full of so much information. So we're trying to have the experts, the gurus, give you all of their sort of background information. So this is episode 2 of the trifecta. And when we last were here, Dan was talking to us about the truth in taxation and how that process happens. So basically on August 6th, there's going to be a truth in taxation hearing because the school district is asking for an increase in their rate. So is there anything else we need to know about that portion? Or
there is one other thing that I would like to mention. The school district, because this has been really the news last year and this year, has been there was a tax bonds that they tried to issue, mm-hmm. and those went on the ballot, mm-hmm. and those were ultimately defeated. What's the difference between that process and this process? Because they both end up becoming property tax, right. And so it's important to understand that. Entities will go through truth in taxation. They will have a property tax. That's part of their operational budget. They can also issue bonds for a large capital improvement. The county could do it. The city can do it. You hear about these things. These are usually the big ones that end up in the news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you hear about a new prison being built and bonds issued. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those are going to be on the burden of the taxpayers. Or in the case of the school district last year, they were going to do a whole bunch of capital projects to remodel schools, to build new schools, to upfit their schools with security and things like that. It was approximately $100 million bond last mm-hmm. year. And there was a lot of misconceptions and just... It's a very complex process, and so it wasn't very well understood.
Yeah.
So what happens is, just like an entity can go through and they have their regular taxes, their property taxes that they operate with, they can decide to issue a bond. Every time that happens, it will have to go to the ballot.
Okay.
So people will have to ultimately decide whether that's a good use of their money.
Right.
Say they want to establish a bond, and it's going to be a 30-year bond, and it's going to cost so much in principal and interest every year. We will establish a tax rate, and it will be built in to the school's rate that will make their payment for them, right? And that will be there as long as that bond is in place and those payments come out. And as you know, if you've ever bought a house or you've made a loan, sometimes loans, the payments are flat,
mm-hmm.
and other times they were graduated up, graduated down, sometimes mm-hmm. they have a balloon. Bonds can be somewhat similar. And what happens is if those are voted and approved by the voters, then that will be built into the rate. But once that falls off, once those payments are done being made, the rate will drop back down to what it normally would be without that. And then the burden will be off of the taxpayers. Only the regular burden will remain. And so that's what happened last year. The school district said, we have a bunch of bonds that are going to be expiring,
mm-hmm.
and we want to build some new stuff. And so they wanted to issue these bonds. And the reason why I think it's important to understand is because most likely they still need to build those schools,
right.
and they'll probably
mm-hmm.
come back with a round two, a phase two.
Yeah.
And it will look somewhat different. I'm guessing. I'm not involved with that other than the calculations. And we will have a decision to make as voters again. What happened is is those bonds are falling off, and their school district rate will fall off, but then they won't have that revenue. They'll just have their operational revenue.
Sure.
So this tax increase that they're doing right now is not that. This is just their operational property tax budget, which they're asking for an increase.
Okay.
There's two different things. But they both end up in your tax bill, and so that can be very difficult to distinguish.
Okay, yeah. That's great.
And by the way, city can do that. County can do that. Cedar City currently has bonds on the books that are built into their rate. Bryanhead has bonds on their books that are built into the rate.
Okay. So anything else that we need to know about your office as the auditor? So we've kind of gone through the valuation process at the assessor's office.
Oh, Bates.
Yeah.
Then the assessor's office kind of hands that valuation information to the auditor's office.
Yes.
And the auditor's office says, okay, it looks like we're going to get X number of dollars from this particular round of valuation.
Yes.
And then you set
the rates,
the budgets. I don't know if budgets is the right term, but
they set their budgets.
The entities set their budgets, and then
yes.
You tell them how much they need to have as the rate to accomplish their budget.
Yes.
Is that a pretty good assessment?
And before you go into abatements, I just want, because I forgot in the last one, when you look at this also, besides looking at your value, also look at your acreage. Especially if you've done any segregations, make sure that's correct, because if we have the number of acreage incorrect, then of course you're going to be assessed incorrectly. So double check that. And then if you have farmland property that's in Greenbelt or mm-hmm. should be in Greenbelt,
right.
make sure that it's coming across and it will say farmland FAA, and then that is taxed at a different rate, and we could get into that, but probably not at this podcast. But just look at that, and even if you don't want to go through the full appeal, or you're trying to decide if you want to appeal that, call one of us. You might get switched around. If you call Nicole and it's not her, she'll send you to me or whatever, but call. Start with Dan if you want, because his number's on here. But you can call and ask, you know, hey, what happened? Why did this go? Because we're not trying to hide anything. We want to give you the information. And sometimes it's just like, oh, yeah, everyone went up. We saw 12% in your subdivision, so everyone went up. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That's probably about right. Or anyway, just call.
And the one person that's not here, we're actually a foursome. Is our recorder,
right.
Carrie Jeffries.
Yes.
And she's not as much involved in the tax process, which I know we're talking about, but she is the one that will handle name changes, any change
acreage
of record.
Acreage change.
Addresses. And so,
yes.
And they do a phenomenal job at the recorder's office.
Yes, they do. They are fabulous over there. Fabulous.
So, one last thing
that
I would like to talk about, because not a lot of people realize there are programs. If you are in a hardship situation, and also, I'll go into the programs. So if you get your tax bill,
notice,
and you know what the bill is going to be, and you have an issue with being able to pay it, there are programs that the state has that the county works with for tax relief. And I won't go into all of them in detail or anything like that, but just so you know, there's an active duty Armed Forces exemption,
okay.
Which is really cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
If we have our men and women that are out serving, they can actually get a property tax exemption. And there's a lot of rules that apply to, they have to be out for so long and so forth like that. But I think it's a great thing that we give our armed services
Absolutely.
A little bit of a break.
That's fabulous. That is fabulous.
We also have a veterans exemption.
Disabled.
Now the veterans exemption, disabled vet. Yeah, I was going to say it. Actually, if you're a veteran, you don't necessarily qualify. But if you're disabled, and there's a process to establish your percentage of disability that'll go through the VA, and they'll have official paperwork that you'll bring to my office. You can get a veterans exemption that applies not only to your house, but you can apply it to say your car property tax and other property tax. You can spread that around. However, we'll work with you to do that.
And let me just jump in there, because that's a real thing. In the past mm-hmm. like 2 weeks, I've worked with two veterans who are moving to this area, wanting to purchase a home, and each of them has had a 90% disability.
Service incurred disability.
And so we've been able to talk to the trifecta, and actually be able to secure them about a 90% abatement on their property taxes, which translates in the real world to their being able to basically spend, increase their housing budget. So if that's a real thing that is, it affects people, and I hope that more people will understand how that works, because yes. If you are a vet with a disability, that can be just a tremendous advantage.
And there are some points where it caps out,
sure.
and there's a lot of rules there, but it is a real program, and it's a very effective thing. You know, one time in the Board of Equalization, we had a gentleman in there who said, "No, I don't want your handouts. Mm-hmm. I don't want you," and because I was making him aware of, and it's not a handout. It's actually a program wherewith you can have your taxes abated or relieved,
yeah.
Rather than being put on welfare or something like that.
Sure.
This is a legal way to have the burden, maybe not on the people that just really can't avoid it,
sure.
or can't bear it. There's a blind exemption, and there's, you know, percentage of blindness and so forth. There is a low income abatement. Now for this, you must be above 65, or if you're under 65 and disabled or under extreme hardship. Now that one can get a little bit tricky, but there is a low income abatement. And finally, there is a circuit breaker, which can apply to widows, widowers, and has to do with income limitations and so forth. And the idea being that it's breaking the circuit of poverty, especially if you have a situation where one of the spouses has died and the income mm-hmm. has been limited,
right.
and so
mm-hmm.
forth. So there are these abatement programs. My chief deputy, Christine, is the one that handles those in my office. Some of them, there are deadlines which you have to appeal. I mean, you have to be certain
apply.
Parts of the year. The veterans, can any time of the year you can apply for that, and the armed forces. So definitely take advantage of them if you're in one of those categories and get some tax relief.
From a home ownership standpoint, which is sort of the lens that I view everything through, what a great benefit for somebody who does fall into these categories to be able either to purchase a home or to maintain the home that they're in. What a great, great thing.
Right, and in talking to other treasurers through the state, our auditor's office is so good to work with people to help people. That's not always the case throughout the state, but our people go out of their way to try to be helpful.
I was going to make this point earlier, but that's a great segue. I think sometimes people just sort of get mad, you know, and then they get frustrated. And I have had clients who had just the most amazingly pleasant and kind and courteous interactions with everybody at the county. And I really want to give kudos to you guys, because I individually and collectively, I've spoken with all of you, and I am so impressed by how willing you are to help people. And your focus isn't, you know, like the greedy tax collectors. It's really on let's enforce the laws. But if there's a way that we can help people, I have seen to a person all of you do it. So my hat's off to you. I know that you spent a lot of time explaining things and helping people through these processes.
Well, even if it's just to understand, again, it's very, very, very complex. And we are more than happy to help you through the process, navigate the bureaucracy, right, from Mr. Incredible. But just to understand the process, it can be very complex. This year, my property value went up 22.5%.
What?
Thanks, Cindy.
But
I built a barn behind my house, and it's a garage. And so, and it's a certain percentage of completion, and mm-hmm. plus there were some market forces that went up. So as I look at this, and I see the school district is doing a tax increase, and my tax bill is going up by $380 next year. Only 52% of that has to do with the school district. But if I don't understand that, I'm going to go to that meeting and I'm going to say, you guys increased my taxes $380.
Right.
When really it had to do with my property was doing something different.
Uh-huh.
And so we're more than happy to work through with people, explain what's mm-hmm. going on. And we may find out something that we didn't understand.
Sure.
And then we have the Board of Equalization to work through those issues.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Okay. So we've gone through the assessment process, the valuation process. We've gone through how the rates are set and the budgets and all of that stuff. Okay, So once all of that is done, then what happens?
We get the final product in our office. So once the abatements have been put on, rates are set and established, they actually make sure everything balances, and then they roll a tax roll into my office. So we, of course, make sure we balance that. And then once everything's good, we mail out your property tax notice.
Which looks different.
Yeah. It looks different exactly color.
It looks the same, but it's a different color.
Yes.
And that goes out when?
This is mailed mid-October and due by November 30th. This year, of course, November 30th falls on a weekend, so December 1st.
Okay.
But it is the actual bill. It does not say, do not pay this. It gives you the dates that it is due by.
And again, once the treasurer's office receives that information, the appeals process, is that window has closed.
Yes.
All of those opportunities have been spent. And once it gets to you, those numbers are what they are.
They are set.
Okay.
We do have a few people that call and maybe didn't receive their abatement application. So up to a certain time, we can still go ahead and help them and they can get that abatement. Mm-hmm. Maybe they did not fill out their questionnaire verifying that that is their primary residence. Mm-hmm. So they can still contact the assessor's office.
And again, why is that important? Why is the primary residence important?
You know, your tax bill will double because that gives you a 45% discount.
Okay.
So it's very important.
So if it's your primary residence or if it's somebody's primary mm-hmm. residence, so if you have a rental property and someone is living there full time, then you can
apply and get that. We will ask for some kind of verification, generally a copy of a contract and maybe some piece of mail mailed to your renter to prove that they actually receive mail there. And so you don't just.
But again, that process needs to happen now.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Now is the optimal time.
Yeah. So make sure you're looking at your notice of property valuation.
While we're on that,
Next
year, because of the legislature changing something, everybody's going to have to reestablish their primary residence. They're going to have to re-prove or qualify. So next year, expect that. Even if you already have it, you're going to have to redo it.
Yeah, we're.
Next year.
Okay.
Right.
But we're this year, whatever the assessor's office has on file, that's what will kind of move through the process mm-hmm. and get to the treasurer's office.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So once you receive your bill, the bulk of our calls are people saying, my mortgage company is supposed to pay this tax bill. I'm not supposed to pay it. Well, by law, we still have to mail out a tax notice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Everybody should want to receive that. And to have for your records for tax purposes. Mm-hmm. So we mail it out. If your mortgage company has requested information from us, there's a little box right here at the top and it will have their name in it. If their name is not there, it means they have not contacted my office to tell us that they want that tax information. Don't call us. Call your mortgage company.
Right.
Yeah, they're the only ones that can verify, we didn't get our request in time, but we have called and gotten that information.
Yeah. So most mortgages that I have been involved with will set up an escrow account.
Yes.
So if you have a mortgage, it's likely, not all the time, but it's probable that you have an escrow account set up. So you're making essentially 1/12 of your tax payment every month when you're making your mortgage payment. Most mm-hmm. of them also have homeowner's insurance included in that escrow. So if you do have an escrow account set up with your mortgage company, that mortgage company's name will show up on the property tax notice, on the actual bill.
Yes.
And then, like Nicole said, if you thought that you were set up with your mortgage company and their name doesn't show up on there, call the mortgage company to find out, what's gone sideways there, because you don't know anybody's mortgage company.
Exactly.
Unless they
We don't have that information. We don't know who you're financing with. That's, we don't need to know that information. But if they have contacted us, it will be there. If their name is there, they don't really need to call us.
Mm-hmm. So do you send out two bills, one to the property owner, one to the mortgage company?
Yes.
Just because they got the bill doesn't mean somebody else didn't then.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So they will call, hey, you know, well, is their name there? Yes, it is there. We, of course, can't guarantee they're going to pay.
Yeah.
99.9% of the time, that's going to be paid by the mortgage company.
Yeah.
So they don't they don't need to call to verify that. If it's there, we know that and we're aware of that.
Good.
So,
okay.
So, yeah. And we have we try to make it as simple as we can. You can go online and pay.
Terribly convenient.
Yes, terribly convenient. On the back of the notice, it gives you several ways you can pay. You can pay online. You can call our office to pay with credit cards. We have a lot of people who are on fixed incomes that they like to pay throughout the year. So they will start in January and pay throughout the year so that when we mail the bill in October, the bulk or all of their bill is already paid.
That's great.
Which really helps with the holidays. We hate that we mail these during the holidays. We hate it also. So, we were told that because we're an agricultural state that that's when everybody sold their animals or crops were gathered.
I did not know
so
that.
So that's why it was originally set up. That's why it was set
you
up
heard
that
it here,
way.
Folks. That's
so,
interesting.
Yeah, because they're always like, why do you bill this during the holiday? Oh, we hate it too. But
but that's set by statute.
It is.
You don't just randomly decide, I'm going to send these bills out right before
and
we
it's
go.
The same for everything. Everyone in the state gets theirs the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we don't ruin your Christmas on purpose because we get accused of that quite often.
So if you don't like it, bug your legislators.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so you can always prepay. If it's just too much, you've had something happen, and you're unable to pay the full amount, you can make payments.
Okay.
A lot of people are confused and think they have to pay it the full amount. There will be a penalty and interest that will go on, but you can make payments.
Okay, so just call your office, and you have programs that people can get on to work that out. That's great. What other questions do you get when those tax notices, when the property tax notice, the bill, actual bill goes out and your phone starts ringing? What questions do you get?
Yeah, mortgage company is number one.
Mm-hmm.
Our number two, again, is they're mad about their value.
Uh-huh.
And at that point, it's like you mentioned, there's nothing that can be done at that point. The valuation is so important to make sure you're being taxed properly.
Mm-hmm.
So please, please open your notices, pay attention to them, because I hate to tell people that there's nothing we can do about your value at that point. I hate to have to tell them that. So.
And everybody gets frustrated then.
Yeah.
Jenny, I have a point that when we were talking about mortgages that isn't necessarily on point, but I think as a realtor, and I think our audience would be glad to know. So if you buy a home and it was previously someone's secondary residence, or the other way, it was someone's primary residence and you're buying it as an investment property, so it's not going to be your primary residence, let us know so that we can make those changes. Now, generally, if it was a primary and it's a secondary, people don't call us. They just wait for us to find out. But
they're grateful.
Sure.
But if it was a secondary and it's going to be your primary, especially if you have a mortgage, call. We can write a letter to the mortgage company so that they will hold the right amount or close to a better amount in escrow rather than pulling out based on the 100%.
Okay.
Then it helps because sometimes those closing costs gets to be so crazy and your payment then is more than it should be.
That's
so
a really good point.
Make sure that
your mortgage company will pull tax records
based on last year's
when they set what your escrow amount is going to be, which will affect your payment. So that is a very well made point. Thank you for bringing that up. If it's your primary residence, talk to these great people and make sure that your mortgage company is giving you that discount that you will be receiving from the taxing entities.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And I imagine that if you're undervalued, I mean, it's tempting to be like, oh, I'll just sit back and enjoy that. But eventually that's going to catch up.
Yes.
And if you don't want to get hit with a huge increase all at once, it's probably good to try and keep it as accurate as possible.
Correct.
And I think there is a misconception. And unfortunately, I think part of the blame lies with my industry. When you purchase a home, you will receive a questionnaire from the state. they are legally obligated to send that questionnaire out. There is no legal obligation to send it back.
Right.
So if you don't fill out the first one, they'll send you another one.
Right.
And if you don't fill that one out, then nothing happens. But just talk to us very, very briefly about how good data is better for everybody.
Well, good data, if we knew what every house in the county, whether it was a private sale or MLS, sold for, then we are more accurate because we have better data. Mm-hmm. You know, quite frankly, we're probably closer in value in Cedar City than we are in the Burrell Valley because we don't know what things are selling for in the Burrell Valley.
Yeah.
So data is important, and we don't go after and say, Jesse, I know you just paid this, we're going to get that from you. We use that statistically to come up with trends and what things are selling for. Also on that, you can check if it was, you got it inherited, you check that. So then we know, we take that out of our statistics because that was not an arm's length transaction. Mm-hmm. If it were, you were just putting it into a trust.
Right.
That's not a sell. We take that out. It's a title change. But every time something changes, every time there's a deed filed, then that's generated and they send those out. So yes, please send that information.
And then the state shares that information.
Yes.
And it helps us to get a fair value. And that's what we want. Mm-hmm. We only want to tax people the fair amount.
Sure.
And I know I discussed this, but you gotta really wrap your mind around this as a consumer and as a taxpayer. Just because your value went up doesn't mean your taxes will go up. If everybody in the county's value goes up by 10%, all of the taxing entities still get the same amount of revenue, the rate goes down, everybody still pays what they paid last year.
Okay.
It's when your house goes up more than your neighbors went up that you will see it. If your house went up 22%, you will go up, and if your neighbors only went up 10% and that was the average, then unless there's somebody doing truth in taxation, you should pay the same amount you did last year. So people unfairly accuse Cindy of trying to get more taxes when really she just needs to be accurate with the values.
Right. Good point. Well made point. Well, is there anything that we haven't covered? Anything, any additional information that you want our community to know?
Just when you receive information from the county, open it. I have so many people say that, we didn't look at it. We do not send anything out that you shouldn't return. Most of it at some points can affect your tax bill, your tax notice. So
one thing else I need to say is be involved. You know, don't just sit back and be angry. Be involved. Go to your board meetings, your city council meetings. That's where the decisions are made that drive how much you pay.
Exactly.
We collect the tax and assess the value for everybody, but the only thing that really the county has to do that affect your taxes from a management perspective is the county portion of the taxes, and then go to a commission meeting and talk to your commissioners. Be involved. Don't just be angry and say something angry on social media and be uninformed.
And call.
We're
so happy.
Yeah.
Come by. Stop by our offices.
So great. Hey, thank you so, so much. It's been a thrill for me, but that's how I roll. Dan Jessen, Cindy Bullock, Nicole Rosenberg, thank you so much for your time today and getting this information out there. This has been episode 2 of the Trifecta, Color Country Politics, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.